Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 711. It's the 15th of February, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Colm Clunan, Finance Director of Talou Energy, TLOU, talks about their reserves upgrade and covers other progress at the company. Also on the podcast today, Cameron Pierce, Chairman of newly listed Emerson PLC, that's EML. They floated today, talks about the company's strategy. Plus, today's suggested one for your watch list. Now listen, everything here in this podcast is not, I repeat, intended as investment advice. It's just information on which to base your research. So today's suggested one for your watch list is from me. Now, it's an audio version of my weekend blog, and I do this because people obviously read the blog but don't listen to the podcast. Some people do both, but for those people who just listen to the podcast, this is for you. And also for my mate Steve, who said, do an audio version of your blog because he can't read. He says he doesn't read, but he can't read. So I've done that. So today it's the People's Operator, who I wrote a little blog piece about on the weekend. T-Pop is the ticker there, and I'll read out the reasons why I think people should add this to their watch list. Also on the podcast today, as normal, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, plus the top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. And I've got to say, the fifth most liked is also the most disliked, and the dislikes outnumber the likes by 4-1.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Colm Clunan, Finance Director of Talou Energy, that's TLOU. Colm, thanks for coming back on.
G'day, Justin. How are you? Thanks. Great to be back on again.
Yes, nice bit of news out today. The reserve and resource upgrade, we'll go through that in a bit. But if there's anyone out there, and I can't imagine there's too many people that don't know what Talou Energy does, could you give us a brief summary as to what the business is all about, please, Colm?
Yeah, look, I'm sure there's a few out there that that don't know us too well. So, we're always looking for new shareholders, but we are a coal bed methane gas exploration and development company with operations based in Botswana in southern Africa. Now, coal bed methane involves drilling into coal located typically between 400 and 1,000 meters, and then we extract the gas trapped in those coals, and that gas can then be used as a fuel source for power generation. We have quite a large exploration area, the licenses effectively that we can operate in, and they stretch for about 8,300 square kilometers. We are located in Botswana, as I said, and the market for our gas is huge due to the chronic power shortages in that region. Some of the current supply in the area is being generated using extremely expensive diesel generation. Now, diesel generation, like coal-fired generation, is considered to be to not be environmentally friendly. And whereas, you know, natural CBM gas that we produce is an excellent, clean and local alternative. We have our environmental approval in place for field development. We have a request for proposal from the Botswana government to develop 100 megawatts worth of power from our CBM gas. We have been producing gas in the region for, continuously since last year. We, just getting on to today's announcement, then we independently we had gas reserves independently certified last September, that we were the first company in Botswana to get independently certified reserves. And today's announcement is an upgrade on those reserves.
Yeah. So what does this mean? So you've got a 44% increase in 2P, that's proved and probable gas reserves, to 3.9 billion cubic feet BCF. 390% increase in 3P, that's proved, probable and possible gas stoves. And so what does this mean, Colin, for the normal layman who doesn't understand about gas reserves and the size? What does this mean? You know, so, why is this good for the share price? You know.
So what it is there's gas reserves and there's gas contingent resources. Contingent resources effectively means that there's gas in the ground. Whether you can get it out commercially is a different matter. When you convert those contingent resources to reserves, effectively you're saying that yes, you can get them out, and they you can get them out, and you do have a market for them to buy them at a commercial rate. So effectively you're saying that rather than just having gas trapped in the ground, you now have gas that you can commercially get out of the field. The more reserves you get, effectively the more gas they're saying you can get from the field. So that's why these increases in gas reserves are they're effectively an addition to your bottom line.
Yeah. So essentially resources is what's there, reserves are pretty much what you can get out profitably. Yes. You know, so okay, and so this is a good thing for you. So I mean, and how much is it possible to say how much this kind of gas will support now or going forward commercially, what you can generate with this or what?
Well, if you look at the figure we have for 3P gas reserves, mm-hmm. is as of this morning was 261, I think was the figure we had.
261, yeah.
261 of 3P gas reserves. Now, we would look to migrate those 3P gas reserves with further work to 2P gas reserves, and 1P gas reserves are effectively ones you're actually producing from the well. But the 261, like take 50 megawatts, a 50 megawatt power plant would need approximately say between 80 and 90 BCF of gas for 20 years. So like you can 261, you know, will do,
that's plenty,
it'll do, yeah, more than enough. That's in 3P, so we'd look to be migrating those to 2P. So with further work, with further gas flows and so on, some of those 3P will migrate to 2P, and then with further gas flows, some of the 3P will then in turn migrate to 1P. And look, the simple answer is yes, there's plenty of gas there.
Okay. This is the request for proposal from the Botswanan government now. I mean, you're asked to submit this for up to 100 megawatts. I mean, as yet, obviously, in the RNS, and Tony did say previously that you don't know what size you go for, whether you do or not. I mean, obviously, you have to release that officially, but it's looking good. Whatever size, even if you go for 100 megawatts, it looks like you can support that. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, that's as long as we continue to increase our reserves. Yeah, we would definitely be able to support that 100 megawatts and a lot more. The with the request for proposal, we will be submitting the request for the request is for up to 100 megawatts worth of power. We will be submitting our proposal to produce the 100 megawatts, and we will do it in stages. Initially, we will develop a 10 megawatts, and as that. The revenue stream from that comes online, we would look to start increasing to the 50 and then potentially to the 100, subject of course to getting the approved tender to do so.
Excellent. But
so look, at the moment that's one of our key focuses is the work on that request for proposal. Now, as part of that, the field development plan is a major part of that. So this includes work on items such as field design, well locations, well orientation, gas gathering, grid integration, transmission line assessments, all key items for development of a successful project. So we're working with a number of groups in this regard, and they're at various stages of completion. And much of that work is going to flow into the that 100 megawatts proposal.
Okay. And what about other things happening as well? I mean, your agreements with GE, and that's okay. There what's happening there? Anything, is that still going on?
Yeah. So since we had since we got the request for proposal, which was early January, the 100 megawatts, we've been inundated really with different groups wanting to partner with us to develop the project. So we are talking to a lot of them, and look, due to the nature of those discussions and confidentiality, I can't elaborate in relation to any of them really, but the talks are aimed at strengthening the company, providing funding options for the development of the Lesedi gas project, and we hope to be in a position to update the market accordingly in the near future.
Excellent. So, and of course, with these upgraded reserves, probably even more interest, which is always good to have that, isn't it? Rather than just having to rely on one company, maybe it's got proposals from lots of companies, which is
the other thing about the reserves today. Like, I think we would have mentioned before about the initial reserves that we got back in September. Getting the first reserve is you know, is typically the hardest. Mm-hmm. And after that, then, you know, increasing the reserves is a little bit easier, because at that point, usually the reserve certifier is confident about the commerciality of the region. So then from that point, it's just expanding on it. So that's effectively what happened with today's announcement. So the SRK are the group that gave us our reserve certification. They've been looking. We came out in December, and they were looking at our geological data for a number of reasons that were going to feed into the field development plan, such as identifying ideal areas for future developments, the optimum well orientation to increase your gas flows, etc. But in addition to that, then they looked at our the aeromagnetic data. We had the seismic data, other core hole data, particularly in the Mamba region. And it was on the back of all that information that they had that we got these reserves today. Now, significantly, our reserves back in September were based in the Salemo region, which is one of the regions in our Lesedi project. The reserves we got today, they actually gave us reserves in an area to the south of the Salemo region, mm-hmm. and also to the west. So they've really expanded the area that we have reserves in. So rather than a relatively small area, you know, it's now expanded across different exploration or prospecting licenses that we have. Yeah. And a key one of that is, you know, we've gone into the Mamba licenses, so we talk about our Lesedi project and we talk about our Mamba project. These are the first, today is the announcement of the first reserves in the Mamba project. And look, we're delighted to receive first gas reserves in Mamba area, because it shows the upside available within our portfolio. So going forward, we look to increase the reserve certification both in Lesedi and in Mamba. And look, that's what's going to bring value to shareholders.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. Well, do you know what? I remember you and Tony saying, you know, the first initial certification of gas reserves is the hardest. It's like baby steps, isn't it? Once a baby, the hardest thing for a baby is to get up and start walking. Once they start walking, you can't stop them. You wish, you know, you spend like a couple of months wishing your son or daughter could start walking. Once they start walking, they go, oh, slow down. They're everywhere, you know? So, yeah, so it's that kind of thing. Excellent, Colin. Well, you know, the pack drill here on the podcast, you know, I do highlight the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets. And so if anyone's not following Talao Energy right now, could you give us three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Yeah, well, I think the last time you asked me that, I gave you a lot more than three. But look, I suppose going forward, we have a few things on the go. And the first one would be getting an agreement in place with a strategic and technical partner for the 100 megawatt submission to the government. We're looking at completing our field development plan, that include like agreeing transmission line routes, furthering our exploration work, seismic and core holes, negotiations with government in relation to power price, which is a key variable in our project model. But if you want, I suppose, three simple reasons why you'd invest with us is we have a massive gas asset in a power-hungry region. Mm-hmm. We're far ahead of anyone else in the area. We've got commercial gas flows, we've got our environmentals in place, which puts us like, you know, probably 3 to 5 years ahead of anyone. We have a request for proposal from the Botswana government for the 100 megawatts of power. And put simply, look, we have the product, being the gas. We have the market in Southern Africa, which is with its chronic power shortage, and we have the customer, which at the moment is Botswana Power Corp. Once we develop this project, you know, there's also export power as well. So look, now it's a case of getting that product into that market and sell it to that customer, put it all together, and you know, we've got a project.
Yeah, and don't forget also, maybe a fourth point or fifth point, is that you guys pretty much, or the management team there, you know, I've done this before, this kind of thing before, so it's not as if it's something new. It's a new jurisdiction, but what you're doing has been done, isn't it?
Yes, it has. Tony's been here before, been very, very successful and made a lot of money for a lot of shareholders in his previous companies. And to be fair, some of those shareholders are still with us today. They follow Tony as much as they follow anything.
Excellent. Colm, thanks very much for coming on and look forward to chatting to you again in the not too distant future.
Thanks, Justin. Take care.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Cameron Pierce, Chairman and CEO of Emerson PLC. That's EML ticker. Cameron, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Justin.
Now, a lot of people may not have heard of Emerson. That's because you're newly listed today. And tell us a bit about it, Cameron.
Yeah, sure. I mean, so we've listed today. We are a Optiva's latest standard list cash sell. We have a natural resource focus. Our board comprises of Ed McDermott, Sam Quinn, and myself. We've had great support from our shareholders and have cleared £1 million. And now it's the board's job to find a deal, hopefully in the next 6 to 12 months.
Excellent. And so in the resource sector, and tell us a bit, I'm aware of your background, but for people not aware of you, just tell us what you've been involved with before, please, Cameron.
Yeah, sure, Justin. So, I mean, most recently I was chairman of Glenwick PLC, which had some news out recently. Previous to that, I was chairman of CEB Resources, a company that I know you guys followed closely. Mm-hmm. And the 10 years before that, I was working predominantly in AIM-listed companies in the natural resource space in both mining and oil and gas.
Yeah, and did you say what you've raised £1 million? Is that right?
Yes, we raised a little bit over £1 million to terrific support from our shareholders. So I'd like to thank everyone that's got on board today.
Okay, so obviously you can't say too much about what you're looking at because that is subject to obviously regulatory approval and RNS is in the future. But, you know, what sectors are interesting at the moment as far as you're concerned? Where are you sort of looking? I mean, are there certain commodities you're looking at or think there's interest there or what?
Well, yeah, I mean, we see great opportunities in the natural resource space. Look, personally, I very much like the energy space, the oil and gas space.
Yeah.
But that's not to say we wouldn't look at the right mining deal.
Yeah, so are you sort of easy to what you're looking at? I mean, you're not commodity focused particularly, you're just looking for good deals, or do you have a focus? I mean, you don't have to mention the type of commodity, but are you sort of focused on certain commodities?
No, look, at the moment, we've got a very wide spectrum in the natural resource sector, and we'll be reviewing many projects. And similar to what we've done previously, you know, we've put a good team together and we'll back ourselves to hopefully back another winner.
Yeah, and do you see at the moment, I mean, there's a bit of I know AIM is quite buoyant at the moment, isn't it? I mean, obviously you're on the standard list, but I mean, AIM at the moment, small caps, very buoyant. And do you see a bit of a revival here, you know, a bit of a recovery in that area?
Yeah, I really do. I like the small cap space. Look, the year started terrifically, and I see that continuing.
Yeah. And I think it's helped a little bit. I know there's a talk of like a trade war between the US and China. I mean, I personally don't think it'll come down to that. But I mean, you know, Trump in US of A, they is a business focused, you know, and I think that's helped, doesn't it? It's to a certain extent, you know, with commodities as well. And I mean, I see China's economy sort of picking up. And so it is looking buoyant, and especially in certain areas. I mean, you've got the copper, the lithium, you know, very hot at the moment, and no doubt you'll be looking at things like that. But hopefully within sort of, what, 6-12 months, are you looking at multiple deals, one deal? What's the deal here?
Oh, look, I couldn't say right at this point in time, but our past track record has shown that we've been able to deliver you know, a specific deal within that time frame, and that's our track record. I mean, you mentioned Trump. I mean, he has, you know, he's almost a patron saint of the small cap at the moment, and I don't see that ceasing anytime soon. I spent couple of months in the UK. I'm Australian based over the last 6 months, and it's all been positive. So, you know, I think it's the right time for what we've put together here, you know, with a strong cash balance to make the most of opportunities that are no doubt going to come across our desk.
Yeah, cool. Well, listen, like I said, it's, thank you for coming on. As yet, obviously, we can't say too much, or you can't say too much about what's happening, but that will all be revealed, I hope, in the next 6 to 12 months. But in the meantime, Cameron, what I do on the podcast every day is I highlight the top five most followed companies, and people do this by hitting the follow button on companies' pages, and they get RNSs straight to the front screen of their phone whenever those companies release them. So for people now, obviously, not following you, and I assume there's quite a lot because you've just listed, could you give three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page, please, on Vox Markets?
Absolutely, Justin. Very, very quickly, CEB Resources, Glenwick PLC, and the current opportunities in the natural resource space.
Nice. Short and sweet, to the point. Cameron, thanks very much for speaking to me. And listen, I look forward to that news coming out and getting you back on. Thanks very much.
Pleasure. Thanks, Justin.
Okay, it's time for today's suggested one for your watch list. This is by me. Like I said, it's an audio summary of my blog. It's not investment advice whatsoever. It's just information for you to use and do further research on. So, TPOP is the ticker. It's the Beatles operator. And describe yourself as a cause-based commercial mobile virtual network operator. Essentially, it supplies SIM cards for mobile phones and is the only mobile operator or network provider that gives 10% of your monthly spend at no extra cost to you to the charity of your choice. It operates in the UK and the US using networks of Three, Sprint and T-Mobile. And the pricing package is comparative with other mobiles. So, it's not 10% more expensive. And like I said, it's no extra cost to you. That charity donation is no extra cost. All right. Current share price is 9.25 pence. It's 11.3 million market cap. And taking into account, this floated in 2014 at £1.30. Pretty much 100 million market cap, or a bit more. So shares in issue, 122 million. Around 60% of the shares are held by major shareholders, 30% just over by non-exec Juliet Rosenfeld, 7% by the CEO Mark Epstein, and 5% by Jimmy Wikipedia Wales. Wikipedia! So what revenue, profit, loss does the company generate? For the 6 months ended the 30th of June, 2016, obviously they're interims, revenue after donations was 1.7 million with a loss of 3.95. In a trading update on the 25th of January 2016, they stated that the company is pleased to report that the overall trading performance for the last 12 months, ended 31st of December, is expected to be in line with expectations, and management is encouraged by the promising growth in SIM orders in the US over the Christmas period. Group revenues for the 12 months ended 31st of December is currently expected to be around 3.6 million. How much cash or debt does the company have? On the 25th of January, they raised £200,000 at 5 pence a share. On the 17th of January, they raised 1.7 million at 5 pence a share. 31st of October, the company had 2 million in cash, which includes 1 million that has been drawn down from a Barclays pursuant to the company's debt facilities. So three reasons why people should add this company to their watch list. Number one, Mark Epstein said in the podcast recently that revenue per month is currently growing at above single-digit percentage rate. They also stated in their interim results on the 30th of September, RNS, that cash burn would be down to £115,000 per month by January 2017. Now, this is the issue here, because they had a huge cash burn when they started off. You know, when you float a new company, it's tech and all that, and you're launching and marketing, it takes a lot of money. Now, they brought this cash down, it was about 8 to 10 times bigger than this at the start. And they had some technical issues, like Mark said, listen to the podcast. In fact, I'll put a link to the podcast here. But this, if they bring this cash burn down, and it's quite a big ask, but they state in the RNS, 215, then they should be going towards cash flow positive this year, or EBITDA positive at least. So it's amazing, you know, reduction in cash burn. Like I said, it floated like £1.30 in 2014. But given the reduction in cash burn and increase in revenue, I believe the fair value of this stock to be higher than where it is at the moment at 9.25 pence. Reason two, management. Mark Epstein, Chief Executive Officer, prior to TPO, Mark co-founded and ran Mass One Limited, where he built the business into a leading UK campaign agency, working with organisations including Channel 4 and charities such as the DEC, which is the Disasters Emergency Committee. Also, Jimmy Wales, non-exec director, is the founder of free online encyclopedia Wikipedia. And Wikipedia, you probably know, is read by more than 500 million users every month and has 18 billion page views. Also, Michael Butler, just brought on there, country non-exec, but to become chairman after the next general meeting, I think. Mr. Butler has various senior roles in general management, sales and marketing, in telecommunication business, including as president and chief operating officer of executive board directed Inmarsat. And that's a biggish company there. And reason three, virality, or viral. The power of viral. The People's Operator have a unique offering amongst mobile service providers. At no extra cost or expense to the consumer, they donate 10% of their revenue towards charitable causes, and their offering is still competitive with other mobile service providers. And I'm sure, given the chance, most people would opt not only for the flexibility of a rolling monthly contract, which they do, their contracts are monthly, but have some money they spend go to a worthy cause if it comes at no extra cost. I'm sure, if you ask most people, would you give a couple of quid to a charity every month if it didn't cost anything? I'm sure most people would say yes. So it has this viral exponential sort of growth potential, I think. And when you've got someone like Jimmy Whale, Wikipedia is all about viral sort of growth, then you have the ability to grow it hugely, I think. And like I said, he's really well known. He's worldwide famous, and he's massive in America. And when they launched, they said they went on to every major network television show out there because everyone wanted Jimmy Wales on the show. So he can open doors on the marketing side of the business that most people can't ever do. You can't even pay for that kind of marketing. So I think once this gets going, and it looks like right now, cash burn coming down, revenue going up, there's potential. So that's why I think you should put this company on your watch list. Like I said, it's at all-time lows. It did hit, I think, just below 3p at one point, but it's now up at 9.2, but it's stabilizing. And I think the chart is looking good. And if they have a positive update in the next few months or so, then it should help push this stock price higher. So worth looking at, the People's Operator. Like I said, it's not investment advice. It's just information on which to base your research. Hope that makes sense. All right, here's the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. I just wrote the column. Talao Energy, there's huge potential there. I got it. Tony Gilby said this as well. He said, it's not just Botswana, it's a whole southern African area that have power problems. And once they get that, that sort of solution sorted in Botswana, it's scalable. So if they're the first, if they're market leaders there, it could be huge. It could be huge. Do your research on it. Like I said, it could be huge. And that is, very much my sort of modus operandi. We're looking for stocks, small stocks. I look for companies that could be, potential 10 baggers, realistically. 10 baggers. Obviously, most of them will make it, but the rise they achieve in that short to medium term anyway will hopefully make sure you earn a bit of cash on the way. But I think Talao, has that potential to be, a 10 bagger there. Do your own research. At four, most followed company, Lansdowne Oil and Gas, LOGP. At three, Audio Boom, Boom Ticker. I had Rob on the podcast yesterday. At two, it's Ascent Resources, AST. Of course, Colin was on the podcast recently. And at number one, again, URU Metals, ticker URU. All right, here's the top five most liked ionizers. At five, Farron Crescent, FCR. I don't know why, I think people misread this. Termination of farm-in and JV agreement at Moonlight. Now, this was also the most disliked RNS, and four times as many people disliked it as liked it. At four, I just spoke to Cameron Pierce. That's Emerson PLC, admission to trading and first day of dealings. At three, Kooves, wins most popular fashion portal award in India there. At two, Metal Tiger, MTR, update on MOD, Botswana. And number one, the most liked RNS, I think the second most liked ever, was from Talao Energy, the reserves upgrade. Check that out. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.